takes you beyond legal. This podcast is for general guidelines only, and the contents do not constitute as legal advice and should not be relied upon as such.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Budi Jaya On Air. Today we have a very special guest with us, the one and only, none other, the long-awaited Tony Budi Jaya, the managing partner of Budi Jaya International Lawyers. Pak Tony is here to share some tips for drafting arbitration clauses for Indonesian-related contracts. Well, drafting arbitration clauses are often tricky, so Pak Tony here with over 24 years of being a professional lawyer, and he's also an arbiter. He is here today to share his insights on arbitration and how to draft the clauses for, well, Indonesian-related contracts. So herewith, I present the floor to Mr. Tony Budi Jaya.
I'm Tony Budi Jaya, a lawyer, mediator, and arbitrator based in Jakarta, Indonesia. I'm so delighted to have been asked to contribute a short talk on tips for drafting an arbitration clause for Indonesian-related contract. Let me start by saying that there are a number of common misperceptions about arbitration clause and traps that many parties fall into when drafting an arbitration clause. Clearly understanding these misperceptions and avoiding these traps is the first step to ensure your arbitration clause is effective and you do not fall foul of them. Due to the time constraint, I'm going to talk only about the general and most popular ones. First, in spite of the promotion of arbitration throughout the world, there are still a lot of misperceptions about the benefit or power of an arbitration clause. Arbitration clause is often taken for granted simply because most of the international commercial contracts contain an arbitration clause. In too many transactions, the dispute resolution clause is treated as a mere boilerplate and discussed at the very last minute of the parties' negotiations when they think of the best way to avoid litigation in unfamiliar or in an unfavorable forum. It is right to say that an arbitration clause, in a way or another, aims at preventing the parties from recourse to a court of law. Indeed, in the context of international commercial dispute, arbitration is a worthy alternative to litigation, especially for the parties who wish to achieve a determination of right or entitlements. Agreeing to have dispute resolved by arbitration is the obvious and usually inevitable solution in international commercial contracts entered into by Indonesian business people and parties from different jurisdictions and different social and cultural background. In international commercial contracts, the parties often have no other option than agreeing to arbitration to avoid court proceedings in any of the parties' jurisdiction. That said, it is not right to think that is the only benefit of having an arbitration clause. In addition to providing access to a neutral forum and avoiding parallel litigation in a competing forum, an effective arbitration clause would greatly increase the predictability of the party's potential dispute resolution process and enforceability of the potential arbitral award. For the arbitration process alone, it has a great influence on how dispute will be arbitrated. It can avoid unnecessary delays in resolving dispute through arbitration. Second, please do not assume that Indonesian businesses and lawyers are familiar with international arbitration. There are no specific procedures for international arbitration under Indonesian law. So when dealing with Indonesian party, it is very important to understand the practice and perception of Indonesian business people and judges about arbitration. We'll know that there are many reasons that justify the preference of arbitration over traditional court litigation. However, many Indonesian people still do not think that arbitration is cheap, quick, and effective enough to resolve their dispute. For the general public in Indonesia, the setbacks of arbitration in administration of justice are quite abundant. It includes high costs of arbitration, which include also the fees of arbitrators and arbitral institution, and also the long time required to complete arbitration. Since many Indonesian businesses have little to no familiarity with international arbitration, if their bargaining power permits, they'll usually insist on arbitration seated in Indonesia. In practice, they generally are more willing to choose an international arbitration if they have no place of business or assets in other jurisdiction. You know that Indonesia is a party to the New York Convention of 1958. They know that generally the court process in Indonesia is very complicated and inefficient, and there are many practical problems related to the procedure for enforcement of arbitral awards in Indonesia. So in the event that the award is not in favor of them, the award cannot be effectively implemented by the local court. Third, I know there's a perception that Indonesian court judges are hostile to arbitration. That is wrong. Yeah. Today, many of them better understand and want to support arbitration. It is true that previously the Indonesian court were generally suspicious to arbitration. Arbitration was sometimes seen as a threat to the court authority and an unwarranted substitution of court litigation. I've met and heard from some judges that they have a bit jealousy toward arbitrators. But if you have a chance to look at the attitude of the Indonesian court today, you will be surprised. You will change what you have perceived or imagined. Today, it is generally accepted Indonesian law and courts favor arbitration as a matter of policy. The pro-arbitration policy developed as recently as is in the last 20 years, yeah, especially after the enactment of the Indonesian Arbitration Law No. 30 of 1999, entitled Arbitration and Alternative Dispute Resolution. Fourth, it is not right to assume that because we want the dispute to be settled by arbitration, there is only one way to settle the dispute through arbitration. If the matter is to be settled by arbitration, there are many ways arbitration can be initiated and applied, and it is up to the parties' agreement to the greater extent practicable under the applicable law. You need to understand that arbitration is conducted in accordance with the procedures agreed by the parties and supplemented by domestic or international law in case of ad hoc arbitration, or the arbitration rules provided by an arbitral institution in case of institutional arbitration. When drafting an arbitration clause, the obvious threshold question is whether the arbitration should be ad hoc or administered by an arbitral institution. In practice, some arbitration proceedings are conducted by the parties under rules they negotiate among themselves. These are called ad hoc arbitration. Ad hoc arbitration can be preferred if the nature of potential dispute are simple and the object is not of significant value. So the cost, procedure, and mechanism of the arbitration proceeding can be more flexible. If the parties have no adequate experience or resources to organize arbitration, then arbitral institutions should be preferred. However, you should bear in mind that because such arbitration will be administered by an institution, such institution will have to take charge of all or nearly all aspects of administering the arbitral proceeding. That means the parties have to pay, yeah, a variety of filing and administrative fees. The way the arbitration proceedings are conducted is subject to various factors, such as seats of arbitration, number of arbitrators, and language of arbitration. Obviously, a sole arbitrator is preferred for the reason of cost and speed. Yeah, a panel of consisting three arbitrators is most common, but it should be more appropriate for a more complex dispute. Now, regarding seat of arbitration, as a matter of principle under Indonesian law, if the seat is Indonesia, the arbitral awards will be legally treated as Indonesian national awards. Under the prevailing Indonesian law, yeah, foreign arbitral institutions are allowed to administer international arbitration cases seated in Indonesia. The parties also have freedom to apply a foreign law and use a foreign counsel or arbitrator for their arbitration cases seated in Indonesia. On language, in principle, choosing language is for the comfort of all parties, yeah, in communicating and minimizing the cost of translation services. Here, I would recommend that you choose the language that is mostly spoken by the parties and possible witnesses related to the object of your contract. So up to date, the default rule for the language of international arbitration is English, yeah, being an international language. Fifth, do not think that drafting a dispute resolution clause, especially for Indonesian related contract, is easy and straightforward. Arbitration requires a properly drafted arbitration clause. A well-drafted arbitration clause is the key to ensuring that the arbitration meets its primary goal of avoiding unwanted court intervention, keeping the arbitration process timely, and avoiding the adverse effect of arbitration. To achieve this goal, arbitration clause should be short, simple, and precise. So keep it short. Just because you have a long arbitration clause does not mean that you have an effective arbitration clause. Careful. So I'd recommend that you consider the model clause offered by the arbitral institution of your choice. Yeah, it can be SHUTEC, SKIC, ICC, yeah, or any other institution. It is generally advisable to just copy and paste the model arbitration clause recommended by the arbitral institution of your choice into your agreement. Parties are of course free to modify or adapt the clause to their particular circumstances. Then keep it simple. I'd recommend that you consider adopting a broad scope of arbitration. Typical arbitration agreements are generally broadly drafted along the lines that the parties will resort to arbitration for any and all dispute or differences arising out of or in connection with, yeah, the agreement between the parties. Then you can just add to that, or as to their rights and obligation. So such a broad clause is generally deemed by the Indonesian court to be broad enough to catch both claims in contract and claims in tort. Ambitious drafting can more easily lead to pathological clauses. So you have to exercise extra care when drafting multi-tiered dispute resolution clause. Yeah? When you make an overly complex multi-tiered dispute resolution clause, for example, parties are required to undergo negotiation and also mediation, yeah, and or expert determination prior to commencing arbitration, please make sure that the added dispute resolution procedure will not result in a procedural loop or divest the arbitral tribunal of their jurisdiction. We have to always bear in mind that the alternative dispute resolution procedure is basically requiring the parties, yeah, to cooperate with each other and act in good faith to make it work. So I have to warn you that despite their good intention or objective, this type of multi-tiered dispute resolution clause is often disputed in practice by reason of lack of good faith in negotiation or mediation or expert determination. Yeah, one might say that the other party has never made a good faith effort to negotiate, and therefore the arbitral award must be set aside or annulled. So we have to be careful. So in such a case, you need to make sure everyone knows when steps prior to arbitration has been completed or not. Yeah. So because of that, you need to specify in your arbitration clause how the parties gonna conduct the alternative dispute resolution mechanism. Yeah. For example, through institution or not. And how long they have to do it, yeah, say to conduct the obligated negotiation. We need to put in a reasonable time limit, say 30 days, yeah, for example. In practice, I've also seen an overly descriptive and strict clause. such clause may complicate the parties and the potential arbitrators when they have to commence the arbitration. For example, overly strict rules on selecting the arbitrator and overly descriptive qualification of the arbitrators in the arbitration clause may limit the availability of qualified arbitrators when the dispute arises. So be careful on the specific qualification of the arbitrators. So specifying the nationality should be sufficient enough, but you need not to elaborate that. For example, the degree of the potential arbitrators and specific accreditation in certain organization, that may be difficult to apply. Last but not least, you have to draft your arbitration clause precisely or accurately in order to avoid any wrong interpretation. Please make sure you do not make inaccurate or incorrect references to institution, to the rules and also seat of arbitration. For example, if you wish to choose BANI, the Badan Arbitrase Nasional Indonesia, you need to spell the name correctly, Badan Arbitrase Nasional Indonesia. You can't just say that a national arbitration body in Indonesia. Although BANI is the oldest and most important arbitral body in Indonesia, it is not the only one. There are many arbitral bodies in Indonesia. So currently there is no such single national arbitration body in Indonesia. And you know, Indonesia, we also got an institution called KADIN. This is an association of business organization. And in English, their name is Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Or in bahasa, Kamar Dagang and Industri. Yeah. But unfortunately, this institution have never issued any arbitral rules. So this situation certainly create confusion and a problem as to the party's intention. We also know that several arbitral institutions always keep making effort to upgrade themselves and revising or making amendment to their arbitral rules, to make it align with international arbitration best practices. So we have to be careful when specifying specific arbitral rules. You better say that arbitral rules applicable rather than mention specific year of that rules. So when choosing the seat of arbitration, you must be able to make a decision between venue and seat of arbitration. The seat of arbitration is what determines the court having jurisdiction over the annulment claim of the award, while the venue is the physical location where the arbitration hearings or deliberation can be held. So you can choose that, say, the seat of arbitration in Singapore, but the venue in Jakarta or Bali. So you can see that defective drafting of dispute resolution clause may cause problem, and also this can create a serious problem for the potential enforcement court when it face the application for enforcement of the award. So I believe in this short talk, I've given you some caveat against common misperception and traps, and also some tips to keep in mind, and also raise the importance of having a careful strategy when drafting an arbitration clause for Indonesian related contract. So I very much hope that this short talk will contribute to the public education or study on arbitration law and practice. Thank you very much for listening.
This has been Budijaya On Air. Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by clicking the follow button, and make sure you subscribe to our website www.budijaya.law for more content like this.